Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
We respectfully acknowledge the traditional custodians on which the Joy Studios stand. We pay our respects to the Wurundjeri, Boonwurrung, Taggawurrung, Dja-Dja-Wurrung, and the Wathaurong people of the Kulin Nation, and to their elders past and present.
You're listening to Queries on Joy 94.9. It's the show that asks the question, what is queer?
A big thanks to Patrick in Joy's very first Rainbow Crusaders show. This is Queries, the show that asks the question, what is queer? In the studio, you have Madeline, Emma, and myself, Lana. Today we are acknowledging NAIDOC Week and we're exploring the mostly silent stories of Indigenous Australians and queerness. We ask the questions, what role does colonialisation play in the reading of gender and sexuality of Indigenous people? Is there a disconnect between Indigenous culture and the broader Australian culture and queer culture? And what can we do to move forward and be more inclusive of Indigenous queer people?
To help us delve into this, the disruptive, heterocentric reading of Aboriginal culture is Andrew Farrell. Here's a taster of what's coming up in the next half hour.
Gender diversity and sexual diversity is kind of a reflection of a sentiment that has been doled out time and time again, that Indigenous peoples are diverse nations of people. There's no one homogenous culture peoples on this land.
So I guess one of the things we ask today is, what is NAIDOC Week?
Tell us, Lana.
NAIDOC Week is a, it's a celebration. It's an annual celebration. It's held in the beginning of July every year, and it's about celebrating the history of cultural and achievements of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. It's celebrated not only by Indigenous communities, but by Australians from all walks of life. And it's a week that presents a great opportunity to participate in a range of activities and support local Indigenous and Torres Strait Islander communities.
That sounds pretty awesome. Do you know when it was set up? Putting you on the spot, sorry.
You are. I think it was set up something like 1938.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's been going for a really, really long time. So today is the last day of NAIDOC Week and the first day of our show.
What a lovely synergy.
Yes. So we thought, why not? Why not talk about the perceptions of queerness in Indigenous people?
I've heard a little bit this week in schools. It's been school holidays, but there's been a bit in the education circles about NAIDOC Week and trying to get as much Indigenous content into schools and really kind of highlight Australia's history pre-settlement and also post-settlement as times are changing. So it's been really interesting.
So tell me, in thinking about and exploring that, have you heard of anything about Indigenous queer people?
Not explicitly, no. So tell me. Lana, who do we have today?
Well, we have today Andrew Farrell. He's a PhD candidate in the Indigenous Studies Unit at the University of Wollongong. He's from an Aboriginal community on the south coast of New South Wales. He's a Wadi Wadi Fellow. He identifies strongly as both Indigenous and as genderqueer. And this identity correlates with Andrew's research interest. Fancy that, using your PhD as an opportunity
to explore. No one's ever done that before.
to explore the range of Indigenous gender identities in Australia, focusing primarily on non-binary and non-conforming genders.
Did you find him because you have an interest in that already, Lana?
Yeah, well, we know each other, yeah, so... Right. Yeah, so I went, oh, who can I ask? I'll ask my friend.
Excellent.
So I thought it would be really interesting because when did you first hear about or come across or meet someone who is Indigenous and queer?
Oh, God, I can't even – I have no idea. I think, you know, when I came out in the queer community, I definitely there were some Indigenous folks that I knew at the time, but I can't think of it as a kind of – this is a defining point of an intersection between queer and Indigenous. What about you?
I don't think that... it's interesting because I think the first time I came across it as something that to take notice of was in my previous career in mental health when mm-hmm. we would have national conferences and we'd be talking about... I would always go along to the Indigenous National Health... mental health kind of talks as well as the LGBTI talks. And then obviously there was synergy between those two. And so right. meeting the sister girls from the Tiwi Islands. And so I think within that context is when I first really got to start engaging with the idea of indigeneity and queerness.
And I know that Joy's got a real focus on making sure there's Indigenous voices on the radio and we discuss Indigenous issues. So I'm really glad that we're doing this topic today.
Yeah. So it's interesting though, about 10 years ago, I don't think I'd heard sister girl or brother boy as concepts.
I guess genderqueer's also come up in that time. So maybe there's yeah. an opening of a space for a discussion around gender in a way that hasn't been in the past.
Mm. So we're going to... listen to a bit of an interview that I did with Andrew to help us delve into disrupting heterocentric readings of Aboriginal culture. I spoke to Andrew earlier this week about his identities, about being Indigenous Australian and his take on gender identity. And this is what he had to say.
There are kind of several levels to which I identify culturally just because of my mixed cultural background. But Wadi Wadi is the kind of official... But I just identify as a community member of Jarinja Aboriginal community as well.
So you identify strongly as both an Indigenous person and as a queer person. What's your yep. take on gender as being a genderqueer Indigenous person?
Well, I've used genderqueer for quite some time, but just because I had access to the word and had an opportunity to talk about it within the university kind of setting. And what it really means for me is to kind of acknowledge... through my own identity that gender is primarily a social construct, a cultural construct, that I can play around with it and it's very pliable. Yeah, I quite like that fun element to it as well.
And what about the notion of the noble savage and that Indigenous people collectively in Australia have only been seen as fulfilling notions of natural heteronormativity?
Yeah, I think, well... I had a little think about it and I thought about how one kind of reduces and homogenises a people based on certain agendas, like civilising Indigenous people. And it's, as to me, as reductive as the kind of Western archetypes such as homemaker and breadwinner, it kind of reduces a person's roles and their abilities. And I've kind of placed that into a cultural context within my own work in order to subvert it or decolonise those kind of frameworks that are kind of very reductive.
So you do agree that those notions are ones which are prominent in our culture?
Well, I think they're forced to an extent. There is a kind of a woven expectation in our lives according to some of the events like the trauma of living on a mission and having been governed by non-Indigenous people for such a long time and forced into particular social roles.
In the work that you do, it says the queer Indigenous body is a site of yep. contention between worlds. Can you explain that for me?
Yeah, I think they're just kind of combating and there's always a movement between Indigenous and non-Indigenous kind of spheres, especially from an Indigenous standpoint, because Indigenous people are... surrounded by, encapsulated by non-Indigenous cultures. We shift and move in and out of those spaces each day. And I feel that I have had to kind of become a shapeshifter in that way and have done so through my gender identity.
Can you give me examples of what that could look like?
The
shifting between worlds.
Right. So language is one of the main things. Any kind of language, body, actual vocal language, obviously. But in a cultural setting, I have words that I use, and some of it is kind of a creole in a way, and they're kind of a catalogue of things that I use to express my cultural ties to people. But outside of that, I have to modify myself to be able to convey myself to non-Indigenous people in a way that I wouldn't relate to somebody who belongs to my community. Just a simple hello can kind of be a really different situation between interacting with my own mob, so to speak, and with non-Indigenous people. Yeah.
And what about queer people? Is that an extra dynamic that comes into play?
Sure. As I've really come to know what it is to be a part of the queer community, I've actually become a lot more sensitive to the interpersonal relationships I have with people and very self-aware of the way that other people perceive my identity as well as how I should conduct myself around them. But yeah, I think it's just a heightened sense of sensitivity about gender identity, about sexual identity, and even cultural identity.
It's not inconceivable that homophobia and transphobia are practices introduced by Christian missionaries in an attempt to civilise the natives. And according to that limited Aboriginal expression, anthropological research, most notably from the colonial settings of the early 20th century, was evidently not interested in Indigenous sexual and gender diversity either. There's been a lot of discussions about decolonising one's body, particularly in relation to gender binaries within the brother, boy and sister, girl communities in Australia. What does this mean for yourself as an Indigenous person who's genderqueer?
So that's a really complex issue, which I really haven't entirely worked out myself. It's an ongoing process and it always will be, I think, something that I won't entirely achieve. Because just for the mere fact that I have been born colonised to a certain extent, and most Indigenous people have been. So sometimes I consider gender diversity and certain traditions of gender diversity that may have occurred. But I also have a kind of tension between some of what has been written about Indigenous people as well, in order to undo a lot of the things that anthropology has projected onto our identities. And to subvert that categorically is really an ongoing process.
You've stated that Australian queer Indigenous absence in critical paradigms are due to abject marginalisation as a product of unmarked performances of identities rendered invisible, powerless, contradictory and meaningless on the social realms in which they exist. If you cannot see it, you cannot observe it. Can you delve into that a little bit for us? What do you mean by that?
Okay, well, I think right at the heart of that is ideas about power. And an example of that, I think, that silences Indigenous people is major things like education and being able to be in the position that I am, which I'm so fortunate to have, is to engage in a critical dialogue about my own identity, about my gender and sexual differences. So something like education and the lack thereof brings about a certain powerlessness and reduces Indigenous abilities to participate. But I've kind of been fortunate enough to kind of slip through the cracks in a certain way. I feel a big obligation and a bit of a chip on my shoulder about addressing Indigenous gender diversity in a space where almost a taboo, like within the realms of Indigenous topics themselves, sexuality and gender diversity is very new. So it is, I suppose, one of the most colourful and polarising critical discourses coming out of Indigenous studies at the moment.
That was Andrew Farrell, who I spoke to earlier this week about being an Indigenous Australian and his take on gender identity. We'll hear more from him a little bit shortly.
Australia's most amazing gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Queeries with Madeline, Emma and myself, Lana, and we're asking the question, what is queer in the context today of Indigenous Australian and perspectives of queerness?
That was a pretty interesting interview, Lana.
Thank you. What did you think? What did you think was interesting about it?
I really liked the discussion about genderqueer and the idea that he mentioned of Indigenous Australians being surrounded by non-Indigenous cultures, and I think you referred to the term shapeshifter,
yeah,
going in and out of cultural spaces, and I just thought that was a really interesting way to discuss, I guess, identity in terms of cultural identity, but also gender identity.
Mm. I really like how he broke it down to a really kind of simple space of even just saying hello, how you say hello differently compared to when you're around your community, when you're saying hello to somebody else that you're a stranger with, saying hello to someone from a different cultural background. I wonder, do queers say hello in a particular kind of way?
Oh, I think so.
Really?
Like when I see my queer friends, yeah, I'm a lot more casual, I think. But maybe that's just in a space where you feel comfortable, right? Like you end up being maybe more authentic or more yourself compared to going to a workplace and being a bit more serious and professional.
Ah, interesting. I hadn't thought about it, but we'll think on it more. I really liked how Andrew talked about being Indigenous was really a contention between spaces with his Indigenous body, being white and being a person of colour, being a queer person and what your body might mean to you as a genderqueer person and what your body might mean as a cisgendered person, and kind of how that all plays into a space that is incredibly challenging.
Yeah, and it kind of, it asks a lot more questions than it answers, right? I guess that's the point of the show.
Perhaps it is. Yeah.
Well, why don't you tell us a little bit about Queeries, Lana, since it's our first time on air?
Well, Queeries, what is Queeries? Queeries is a place where we get to look at the kind of bigger question of what is queer, what can queer look like, what can queer feel like and think like and act like, from, and particularly looking at it from critiquing heterosexist and heteronormative lenses. So today we're talking about perspectives of queerness and being Indigenous, and we're talking to Andrew Farrell about being Indigenous and queer, and I spoke to him about his patchwork of identities and what it means for him to be Indigenous and queer.
There's very much an intersectionality about it. There are so many different layers to which you can be marginalised in each and every space that you belong to. I kind of call it my patchwork of identities that I kind of merge in and out of. Those are my worlds. I'm Indigenous, I'm queer, I'm also in a different kind of system because of my education, and that kind of separates me from other worlds as well at times. So it can be quite isolating, I suppose, and there is a sense of powerlessness that I think all Indigenous people grapple with, but that can be diversified in a lot of interesting ways, and I think gender diversity really brings something new and fresh to that kind of dialogue.
There are many Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander artists, writers, scholars, poets and other creators of knowledge who identify as non-heterosexual and non-cisgendered, some who put their work and themselves in the public domain and by doing so assert that gender and sexuality is explicitly connected to their cultural identity. How important is this to the broader Indigenous community and the non-Indigenous community?
Yeah, well, I think it starts at home with Indigenous community. Gender diversity and sexual diversity is kind of a reflection of a sentiment that has been doled out time and time again, that Indigenous peoples are diverse nations of people. There's no one homogenous culture of peoples on this land, and that carries with it the possibility for diverse genders and diverse sexualities. And it's really great to see Indigenous artists assert that in their work and to bring that to light so that we're able to talk about it, especially amongst our own community, before we kind of face non-Indigenous people and say, this is a part of our culture. Accept it, basically. You have no choice.
Talking about non-Indigenous communities and focusing for a moment on the queer community or the LGBTIQ community, can you share with me how the LGBTI community has reinforced racism?
Yeah, that's a complex kind of issue that often delves into my my own personal life as a queer person. I have more so kind of experienced oppression in a way that Indigenous people aren't recognised, rather than kind of more active forms of racism. There are kind of certain deep entrenched forms of racism and kind of ideas about white supremacy and ownership of identity that you deal with as an Indigenous people within the queer sphere, so to speak. I'm trying to really think about that a little bit more, but that's a very complex question and one that I can only answer personally. But I know that through my research, what I've gathered is that other people have felt that they've felt not included or not encouraged because of the impact of racism within those spaces and those kind of ruptures between worlds where you're Aboriginal, so you can't be queer because you have certain cultural conventions that you have adhered to, or that you're too queer to be Indigenous. That relates back to that question about tensions between worlds. Yeah.
How does queer inclusion and Indigenous reconciliation intersect?
Queer inclusion and Indigenous reconciliation. Well, reconciliation is really much broadly just kind of something that everybody should be concerned about. And queer people should be too, because I think that when Indigenous people kind of maybe come out or explore their identity in terms of queerness, they often don't have these safe spaces that non-Indigenous peoples may have accrued over time. So it's always great for the queer community to be reactive to their own kind of inter-community diversities and engage with reconciliation between, and not just non-Indigenous and Indigenous people, but people of all kinds of ethnicities.
What ways can we move forward as a queer community in supporting our Indigenous family members?
Well, I think that interpersonal gestures of acceptance and bonding with Indigenous peoples on levels that relate to their own cultural identity is something that could really strengthen the bond between Indigenous and non-Indigenous peoples in those spaces. That could mean, you know, anything from being active in advocacy for Indigenous rights and engaging with a dialogue with Indigenous peoples, whether or not they're LGBT, just to understand Indigenous worldviews and standpoints, but to also step back when it's appropriate and to allow Indigenous peoples to find their own space as much as you can make a space for them. Because in the Indigenous community, we have a strong sense of self-determination. And for queer people especially, it's about finding that place where you fit in within the community.
What a powerful way to end.
Yeah, wow.
For queer people.
Yeah.
You know, finding that space where you can fit in and having a whole interview talking about fitting in as an Indigenous person, fitting in as a queer person.
And it's interesting, like, it's great talking to an academic because you get such an intellectual perspective, but it also makes me think about what it looks like on the ground in these kind of non-Indigenous spaces, as he referenced, but also non-queer spaces, and how you manage racism and homophobia or heteronormativity, or just kind of when you're genderqueer and you're in a space that's not necessarily accepting of that. And I'm sure a lot of our listeners have had those experiences where it's like, as we said before, you might be more informal with your queer friends and you might feel much more comfortable and safe, but most of us spend most of our time in non-queer spaces and having to grapple with homophobia, or at least making those considerations. And he kind of references being in between, living in non-Indigenous culture the vast majority of the time, and I guess he implied there was that there's a toll on that for him on that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And just thinking about, he's talking about safe spaces, and one of the places where many of us know that safe spaces exist is at universities, and we have queer spaces, we have women's spaces, sometimes we have Indigenous spaces or Indigenous offices. And kind of thinking about how that fits together in queer spaces, as a person of colour, I hardly ever see other people of colour.
Yeah.
And I'm not an Indigenous person, but there's more people of colour in Australia than there are Indigenous people. Indigenous people make up 0.3% of the population, which would be, what, 800,000?
It's very small. And yeah, those spaces, those queer spaces are predominantly white, like, and can be feel quite exclusionary, I think. And that's in a university where it's supposed to be a place of,
yeah,
I guess, you know, open-mindedness and exploring ideas. And it's sad that sometimes it's not.
Yeah. And what about queer people? So we make up what?
There's so many dodgy numbers. It's between like 5 and 15%. It could be any number.
Okay. So let's say 10%.
Sure.
Between that. So Indigenous and queer and safe space. And connecting with people and genderqueer.
Yeah, right. Really small strand of space where you'd feel really safe and understood, I guess.
Yeah. So, it's been a really interesting interview, and I'm really glad. We really want to thank Andrew Farrell for spending the time and energy talking to us.
Just have to face it, we're here and we're queer. Just have to face it, we're here and we're queer.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.